This is All of It. I'm Kushan Avidar in for Allison Stewart. In the documentary Unseen, Pedro works towards his dream of becoming a social worker. With the help of Tyler, his service dog, Pedro takes classes at a local university and works at a therapist's office, helping other undocumented people like himself navigate the challenges of living and working in the U.S. But as an undocumented blind person, Pedro faces his own set of obstacles. He grapples with his noble desire to help others while searching for belonging and healing in his own life. Pedro's story was captured intimately by his longtime friend and filmmaker, Set Hernandez. As a fellow undocumented immigrant, Set follows Pedro with the camera, tracing his life for over 6 years. What culminates is a touching slice-of-life story that adds a refreshing and nuanced perspective into the immigrant experience. The documentary makes its broadcast premiere tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern on PBS. And with me now to talk about the film Unseen is the director, Set Hernandez. Hi, Set. Thanks for joining us.
I am so humbled to be here. Thanks for having me, Kusha.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. The documentary, I watched it last night. It was moving, to say the least. And, you know, one thing that stuck out to me was 6 years with the camera, with Pedro. 6 years is a while. Start at the beginning. How did you and Pedro meet, and why did you want to start capturing his story?
My background was in community organizing and in the immigrant youth movement that I was a part of at the time. We kind of rarely talked about the intersectional experiences of immigrants beyond just being an immigrant. And when I met Pedro, it became an opportunity, or maybe even a recognition, that we rarely, if ever at all, talk about the experiences of people who also have disabilities in the immigrant community. And when I met Pedro, I was helping to organize a program for undocumented young adults who were seeking professional opportunities. And Pedro was in our program supporting undocumented immigrants having access to healthcare, which is a big, you know, kind of underlying theme also that kind of emerges in the film. And in the beginning, I think so much of what I wanted to do was around advocacy and lifting up Pedro's journey through the film. But as you noted, the film took about 6 years to make, many more years longer than originally anticipated. And in the course of doing that, the film actually pivoted from advocacy, but more to kind of understanding who Pedro is, a human being, and what the process of filmmaking is at large.
What was the moment when you decided, okay, this is going to take 6 years and longer than originally anticipated?
Like you mentioned, I myself am also undocumented, and so many of the grant-making opportunities for filmmakers require citizenship or permanent residency for a filmmaker to be eligible. And part of the reason it took so long to make the film is because I couldn't apply for funding or resources. You know, sometimes I can't even look through the portal because the first page of the application, you know, requires you to be able to answer whether you qualify for the program or not. Mm-hmm. But all that to say, I feel like the obstacles that made our film, you know, germinate for a much longer time, ultimately ended up being its own secret weapon also, because I think the fact that I was able to marinate in my relationship with Pedro much longer allowed me to better understand who he is as a person and what kind of film ultimately we need to make to uplift his story.
Talking about who Pedro is as a person, I think, is a great way of describing what the film is at its core. And I want to talk about a scene in the film that to me feels like the core of that story. There's this frank conversation that you and Pedro have about being a quote unquote good immigrant. Let's take a listen.
I always feel so confused because there's so many people from our community, right, that are just as worthy of opportunities and support. But for some reason, I couldn't help but feel that of all these people, why me? I don't know if any of this resonates for you.
Big time. To me, that was a big source of guilt, especially when it's like, hey, he's blind, he's undocumented, or he's going to college. He must be a saint. If you only knew exactly who I am. Would you be as kind with me?
Would you be as kind to me? Set, why was it important to you to have that conversation in the film?
I just want to say, Kusha, thank you so much for the way you summarized the film, because I feel like that is the best description of the film that even I wouldn't have been able to articulate. So thank you so much for receiving our film. You know, I think so much of the discourse about immigration right now and maybe during the past 20 years has been about how hardworking we are and how much we contribute to taxes and to our communities. That's why we are worthy of dignity. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the film, we really argue that all of us are worthy of dignity and humanity just because we are. And I feel like so much of that discourse also kind of excludes people who have disabilities, you know, who are not able to maneuver through society in the same way that capitalism expects us to churn out productivity, you know. And I think with the film, we really wanted to highlight that every immigrant and every human being, regardless of their immigration status or regardless of who they may be, are worthy of second chances, of opportunities, and that we shouldn't have to earn, you know, all of that, you know. And I feel like we also want to be able to lift up that in the discourse that's been kind of predominant around DACA, Dreamers, the Dream Act, you know, and how we were brought here as the pristine, innocent children by our parents. You know, I feel like we really want to counter that narrative too, you know, that undocumented young people, there's so many undocumented people in general, there's so many flavors of what it is to be undocumented, and that we are worthy of an opportunity and of humanity just because we are.
I hear you use words like so many different flavors and, you know, bucking, these are not exactly what you, this is the gist of what you said, the bucking the conceptions that we have around what an immigrant or a good immigrant is. And it sounds like a goal of this film for you was to show nuance and layers and a spectrum, but also in that an entitlement of having what others who might not be immigrants already have. Is that fair?
Yes. And I think so much of what we're trying to lift up also in the film is the discourse about immigration and, you know, politicized identities, in essence, has been relegated to legislation, to the election, you know, and we're more than just that, you know, like undocumented people care about other things that happen in our daily lives, like getting your heart broken, or what kind of food do I like to eat, you know, or how's my mom doing, you know, if she's not feeling well today, you know. And I feel like we really wanted to capture the humanity that Pedro embodies in the film, and really being able to color the immigration rhetoric with that.
Family is an important element of the film, as you mentioned. There's this interesting scene where Pedro talks to his mom about his immigrant journey, and Pedro's mom says that, quote, "We immigrants should be grateful to America for giving us more opportunities." And yet Pedro is hesitant to agree with her. He says that, quote, "The government didn't help me, but the people have." So Set, is this a conversation you often encounter between immigrant parents and their kids?
I feel like it's not even just between immigrant parents and their kids, maybe. Like, I feel like there's this, at large, there's this rhetoric of the grateful immigrant, you know. And I feel like it's more nuanced than that. I feel like so many people don't, and because when I hear about, you know, people advocating for citizenship, for example, for undocumented people, you know, I've heard some politicians use the rhetoric of they came here to make our communities better, you know, or like to contribute to America and make America better. You know, maybe to a certain extent, that is some immigrants, but I feel like many of us came here because we're just trying to survive. Mm. And there's so many, you know, factors also around foreign policy, you know, that also causes immigrants to be pushed out of their countries of origin and be pulled into the U.S. You know, and ultimately what I'm trying to say is with Pedro's conversation with his mom, how can we kind of complicate, you know, the narrative that, yes, there are good things that immigrants experience, but also it's not all paradise.
The complication part is interesting as well when it comes to romanticizing struggle, which is something that that Pedro says right in the movie. It reminds me of the trope of immigrants being these resilient figures in our society, which is kind of what you're alluding to. Let's listen to that clip about romanticizing struggle.
Do you feel like there's such a thing as romanticizing struggle?
There is. But at the same time, sometimes I feel that that's the only thing that we have to make sense out of it. Because otherwise, I don't know if I will be able to bear the frustration of how unjust my situation is and the situation of many people. And I hate that narrative of like the good immigrant. Yes, I'm here. I was able to make it this far, but how many people have to sacrifice for me to get a chance? My parents have to pretty much pawn their future. Yes, I got a chance for to what price? Yes, I got here for what's the price that my family had to pay for me to be here?
Seth, what are some of the consequences of having a trope like that?
Sorry, as I was re-listening to the clip, I've watched the film so many times and re-listening to it, you know, still is really so powerful. I feel like, like Pedro says, you know, there's so many hardships, I think, that are apparent in our lives. And sometimes we just kind of need to find a way to make sense of it. But that does not take away the fact that to be able to move forward with our life, like, for example, as an undocumented immigrant who happens to be a filmmaker, it is not lost on me what a privilege that has been for me, because not many people from our communities are able to pursue their aspirations. Even having an aspiration sometimes, not everyone gets to have access to that. And that just shows how unjust the world can be, that our own parents sometimes don't get to pursue their own aspirations, that they live vicariously through us. And there's just so much weight that I think that places on our shoulders, not because of social constructs, but also because we love our family and we want to be able to pay forward what we've received from our parents, for example, at least for me and Pedro. You know, and I feel like just really uplifting the discourse and complicating, like, that's the word of the moment, you know, what it means to be an immigrant, and not and that it's not just everything that you hear the presidential candidates are talking about right now.
I imagine that at this moment, that sense of complication, which is a word that's coming up a lot in this conversation, is in full force, because for you, you've gotten a lot of attention recently because of your work. You've received the Truer Than Fiction Award at the Film Independent Spirit Awards this year, which is an award for up-and-coming filmmakers. And now that you're getting industry recognition and you're moving up in your career, I imagine the idea of success is taking on new layers, and that is complicated. Which parts of your identity impact how you personally define success now?
Yes, I feel like in this industry in general, or just in the world at large, you know, there's like these imagined standards of success that is imposed on all of us. And I feel like for me, the biggest success is to be able to do work that I feel is meaningful and to live like I'm living in purpose. Being an independent filmmaker is not financially easy for anybody, but I feel like in spite of the uncertainty and the challenges that it you know, presents me, I don't feel worried, strangely. If anything, I just feel so grateful and blessed to know someone like Pedro, that he'd trust me to uplift his story in this way. And I feel like that is success 10 times over.
Well, one bold choice that you made right from the beginning of the movie was how you told Pedro's story visually. The most obvious choice is that you blur the screen and use a ton of out-of-focus shots, much like how somebody who might be hard of vision might look at it. Can you tell us more about why you made this choice?
From the very beginning, I've always told Pedro that my one and only audience member whose opinion I care about is him, Pedro, you know, as long as he watches the film and he gets to say, you understand me, Seth, this is me, you know. But for Pedro to be able to say that, he has to not just be able to access the film, but also access it in a meaningful, enjoyable, evocative way. Mm-hmm. So much of the blurriness of the film is to really imagine what equitable enjoyment would be like, so that someone who's sighted and can watch the film visually doesn't get necessarily way more information and enjoy the film significantly more than Pedro. So the out of focus footage of the film really is an invitation to watch a film by listening, because also as a social worker, Pedro spends so much of his life listening to other people. What would it be like now for our film to invite viewers to watch and listen to this person who spent so much of his life listening to other people?
I love that you say your first audience member that you care about was Pedro and telling his story. So for all of the other audience people doing that, what do you hope Pedro's story resonates with viewers? What do you hope they take from the story?
Ah, yes, that is my most favorite question, Kusha. I feel like what I was saying earlier, you know, the film is indeed about immigration and disability and the circumstances of Pedro's life, but at the end of the day, it's about vulnerability and this experience of worthiness. I hope that for folks that watch the film or are even listening to this day, to this interview right now, we go about our day not being reminded that we are loved and that we are worthy. And I hope that through our film, even just watching it for 80 minutes or so, I hope that what you get out of it is that you are worthy. You don't need to prove anything else to anybody else, and that you belong in the family of life.
Well, the documentary is Unseen. We've been talking with director Seth Hernandez. Its broadcast premiere is today at 10 p.m. Eastern on PBS. Seth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a privilege.
Coming up on tomorrow's show, since 2015, local artist Rusty Zimmerman has painted free portraits of his fellow New Yorkers while also recording oral history interviews for what he calls the Free Portrait Project. They're on display in a new exhibit at Industry City. Rusty Zimmerman joins us to discuss. We'll see you here tomorrow on All of It.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.